Welcome to Girl, Get a Real Job, a podcast series by Women of the Week, a platform amplifying the visibility, voices and work of women, trans and non-binary creatives. I'm your host, Sara Karpanen, a multimedia artist, writer and the founder of Women of the Week. Girl, Get a Real Job is a space where we normalize money and business talk as artists and creative practitioners. To continue the conversation, please find us on social media at Women of the Week and Girl Get a Real Job. Now, let's start talking about the real worth of our creative work. Welcome to Girl Get a Real Job podcast, where we have honest conversations about money, entrepreneurship, and being a creative today. I'm your host, Sara Karpanen, and I have an incredible guest with me here today, Dr. Sarah Welsh, who is the co-founder of Hank's, a sexual wellness brand for women. Sarah, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Nice to be here.
Thanks for having me. Very excited for our chat today. First of all, how are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Yeah, all good. Kind of getting into the autumn feels. It's starting to, I'm quite enjoying it. Jumpers and cozy evenings.
It's very autumnal already. I agree with you. So the reason why I wanted to have a conversation with you, I've been following Hank's for a while, and honestly, I've been like just amazed by your journey as founders and advocates for women's sexual wellness. But could you, I'm aware of what Hank's does, but could you tell to the audience of listeners of Girl Get a Real Job, what is Hank's? How did it start? Perhaps a little bit as well, how has it evolved as a brand?
Yeah.
Past, present, future.
the whole shebang. So Hank's started 6 years ago, actually. My co-founder, Farah, and I launched the company. It's a sexual intimate wellness company focusing on women's health. So we speak about kind of the taboo milestones in women's health, all the way from your first time having sex to your first child, menopause and beyond. So we found that there was no brand out there really speaking to us, especially when we launched in the condom space. So my background's in medicine, so I worked as a gynecology doctor and an obstetrics with a special interest in sexual health. And I was seeing the rise of difficult to treat STIs, irritation because of products women were using down below. And actually there was no brand that was really kind of speaking to women in particular, that was kind to the body and also kind of sustainable and kind to the planet. And at the same time, Farah, who we were good friends, we went to school together, so we've known each other for a long time. She was working in investment banking and she'd bumped into her boss buying condoms and was mortified by the whole experience. And we were saying how embarrassing condoms were and this whole taboo, and actually that no brand had really challenged the big players out there for decades. So we felt there was lots that could be done, innovation in the space. And like I say, definitely the brand and kind of being accessible and educational, but also real and relatable. So Hank's was born 6 years ago. We've since evolved not just condoms, but we have a kind of pH balanced, vaginal friendly lubricant, which is all natural, gentle formula. We also have recently launched supplements, including a libido lift product, which is supporting female libido. Again, quite a taboo topic. And we worked with a nutritionist to launch that, a specialist in women's health as well, to really kind of focus on ingredients that can support female libido. And we're doing a lot of education around that. We've also launched pregnancy and menopausal supplements, again, with the same nutritionist. So supporting these key parts of a woman's life. And our first pleasure partner, so our sex toy, Cindy, which is, again, what our community have been asking for ages, and that's gone down really, really well too. So kind of really, really exciting touch points and products that really open the conversation around taboo topics, support a woman in kind of key areas of their life, and really exciting times for Hank's.
Amazing. I've got so many questions. So you mentioned, all this kind of range of products that you've created along the years. How do you decide, you and Farah, which ones to launch next, and what kind of research goes into it? Yeah, could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Definitely. And it's tricky in lots of ways, because we started with condoms and lubricants, our kind of first core product, and we were very considered in the approach to launch those products because there hadn't been any innovation in that space for such a long time. There was a lot that we could talk about, do, and really kind of make waves in a space that was new, and we could, you know, spend a long time just focusing on those products, to be quite honest. So we did, but ultimately the brand was more than just condoms and lubricants. So obviously things to consider are investment, market share, how we're actually doing in the products we've launched, because, you know, it costs money to market these products, to grow the team, to buy the products, to do the new product development and innovation. So kind of cash flow is definitely key here. But we've known from very early on that our customers want more from us. We also offer, I kind of forgot to mention, but we have a pharmacy partner, and we offer vaginal health treatments and birth control, including emergency contraception, that's dispatched same day. We don't use, we don't need an in-person consultation. It's all through e-medicine, virtual consultation. So again, that was kind of came out of COVID times, when people were not able to get GP appointments, and also our community saying, you know, I loved using the condoms, but actually now I'm moving on to taking the pill, or my relationship status has changed, or my needs have changed, and keeping that customer on that journey and kind of really being that go-to brand that is hitting those key milestones. So, you know, daughters, aunts, mothers, friends, sisters, everyone's on there and kind of speaks about Hanks in that kind of relatable way. So yeah, lots of things to consider. But we definitely listen to our community, and we've got, you know, people DM us all the time about really intimate things, which is really amazing. You know, I'm about to use your condom for the first time having sex, or my got brownie points from a partner for using your product, or, you know, totally changed my sex life, and things like that really kind of keep us going. And we do surveys every year around what products people want to see from us. So definitely listening to the community is key.
Amazing. Do you ever read your own DMs, like on Instagram? Do you reply to them by yourself?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Really? That's so cute. I mean, you mentioned some of these already, and I can imagine that there is quite many obstacles, or if not obstacles, probably challenges. You mentioned that obviously cash flow is key. Yeah. Is there any other kind of challenges, I guess, yeah, you've faced along the way as entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so many. It's like a real roller coaster all the time, but definitely challenges. I think raising investment in a male-dominated space that is taboo, it has been tricky. So, you know, people thinking maybe we don't really know what we're talking about, there isn't a need for our product. There's been lots of kind of pushback, especially in the early days. I think sex tech and sexual wellness and women's health is definitely more spoken about and understood now in mainstream kind of media and society, but it's taken a lot to get there. And especially when we started out, it definitely wasn't, you know, people didn't want to talk about condoms at all. So raising money has been tough, but we've had so many amazing investors along the way and people that really do support us as well. So, you know, ups and downs. Other challenges is getting into retail. So again, we are actually the only challenger brand on shelf next to the big players. And we have been for the past few years. So Boots, you know, took us on board back in 2017. And since we've had Tesco, Sainsbury's, Superdrug, and many other retailers launch our products, which is amazing. But that's a tough journey as well, as kind of getting into the retailers, getting the buy-in from the buyers, and launching a product successfully. Building a team, real challenges with building team. And we've, you know, made hires that haven't been quite the right fit in the past. But Touchwood, we've got an incredible team at the moment, and you know, it really does make such a difference to the efficiency of the company and team morale and culture. So yeah, that's been a challenge on the way. So yeah, lots of, and I think as well, you know, for example, launching in retailers, it's a great problem to have, but as a smaller business, we don't have loads of stock and we can't just get stock like that. So kind of as a consumer business, being aware of cash flow, product flow, and that operation supply chain is really, it's a tricky balance. And obviously we've been, you know, we've had tricky circumstances in the past when we've had to rush through an order or, you know, buy more stock than we need and that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for sharing those insights. I think it's just always helpful to hear as a small business owner, you know, what of other people's journeys, just and feeling like you're not alone when facing those kind of key themes, you know, like cash flow, like you mentioned, is something, building a team. How many of you have at the moment? How many people work for Hanks at the moment?
Just 7 of us still. So still
amazing. Team.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the word sex tech. What does it mean?
Good question. It's quite all encompassing. You know, we are an FMCG brand company that has products, but sex tech will include everything from, you know, platforms to support your female health, your menstrual cycle, your libido, you know, sexual pleasure, partners, everything like sexual health, I guess, as a whole. And sex is very holistic in terms of it encompasses physical, emotional, mental, psychological well-being. So there's technology, whether it be an app, a website, a product, a brand, that kind of can fit into all of those things that support sexual wellness and health, whether it be physical tech or digital tech. And it's a growing industry. So exciting space to be in, and we definitely kind of fit within that.
Yeah. And can we talk a little bit about you and Farah as friends as well as co-founders? I think that's an incredibly interesting combination. How do you make decisions? What is the, I guess, also power dynamics as in any relationship, be that an intimate relationship or, you know, with a co-worker? We always have different roles and responsibilities, but how do you navigate those as well as being friends?
Really good question. And it's, you know, it's been tough as well, because we are such good friends and we have such difficult times or challenges within the business to navigate together. But I think the key thing here is we trust each other. It's very much a relationship. It's like a marriage. People always say that a co-founder is basically a marriage, so we feel like that. But you need to trust each other and have that open conversation, open and honest communication, because that's when if there ever has been any issues that have arisen, it's been because we've not communicated properly. So we make sure that we do sit down and, you know, we're on the same page in terms of the business. We have clear roles and responsibilities. The good thing is we have known each other since childhood, and we kind of inexplicitly trust each other. The other thing is we spend time as friends still. So we make sure that we don't always talk about the business, which is very difficult because that is our baby and our life. But in terms of saying, right, tonight we're having an evening off as friends, we're going to go for dinner and actually just have fun as friends, is super important too, for that kind of friendship to not get tainted completely with work. Just being open and honest is honestly the best way. Mm-hmm. I think our skill sets complement each other very nicely. We're very different in our backgrounds and our skill sets, which helps from the company perspective.
I can imagine. And with all this like kind of product range, like, yeah, launching a new product, how do you make the decisions then together?
Yeah, so we're quite, so I kind of manage marketing, new product development, and the operational side of business. Farah is finance, sales, commercial, and investment raising. So, you know, we come together and we talk about the vision of the company. We, you know, where do we expect to be in 5 years' time? What do we need to do to get there? How are we going to get the right support? And mapping out what's needed for the company with our market research and, you know, commercially with Farah's finance hat on, and kind of product community wise with my marketing product hat on, and gynae background. So it's very much a collaborative way of thinking, but making sure that we have the facts and the research to back things up.
And how did you transition? You were working as a gynecologist, she was an investment banker, then you both decided we're going to launch a business together. First of all, did you explore any other business ideas? Was this the first one? Did you ever think of that you wanted to become an entrepreneur? Was this a completely new journey? And well, yeah, let me just ask those two questions first.
No, so quite funny, really. We'd never planned to go into business together. It wasn't like, oh, let's think of an idea.
Right.
I think Farah's from a family of entrepreneurs, so kind of probably it was in her blood. I've always kind of thought about different ideas and thought it might be a route I wanted to go to. But in medicine, it's very much you're on a kind of conveyor belt of progression. So it wasn't necessarily, you know, I was going to jump off and become an entrepreneur. However, the idea came up and we couldn't ignore it. We just couldn't get it out of our heads. So it was actually over, you know, a few glasses of wine. We had, I think we had like one random Monday off. Farah had like closed a deal and been working loads. So it was pushed out of the office. And I'd, I think, finished like a week of nights and had like a day off. So we went for lunch, had a few glasses of wine. And she told me about this experience she'd had bumping into her boss. And then I was working in sexual health clinics or starting to do a lot more in kind of sexual wellness and sexual relationships therapy, and saw the rise of difficult to treat STIs and kind of lots of taboo and stigma around condom use in particular. And we just got talking and felt, actually, this is crazy. Why at this day and age do we care about what goes in and on our bodies, you know, really aware of wellness and sustainability, yet there's no brand in this particular space at all that fits that bill. So we got really excited about it and kind of worked on it whilst we were in our jobs, in terms of, you know, weekends and nights, started got excited about things, and then got to the point when we're like, well, if we're going to do this, we have to do it properly. So we have to quit our jobs and put our life savings into buying condoms and figure out how we're going to do it.
That's massively inspiring. And I suppose when we experience also successes, we sometimes can also experience envy or jealousy from others. Have you had any encounters of such situations, and how have you handled those if you have? That sounded like an interview question.
Yeah, it's great.
How did you handle them?
It's an interesting question, and I'd definitely like to hear what other people think about that in similar spaces, because I think, yes, we probably have. I think at the beginning people thought we were mad. You know, it was quite different. Lots of doctors are entrepreneurial, I'd say, but few actually kind of come off that kind of trajectory. It's high risk, obviously, and I think medics are quite generally, you know, have a very secure job and have a kind of trajectory up into consultancy, and it's kind of all quite laid out, and people don't tend to, and you know, deviate from that. So I think a lot of medics just thought I was totally mad, or like, why are you doing this, you know. They thought I was mad, so I didn't necessarily get jealousy. Probably happened more so since then, and you know, Farah and I got lots of school friends, always been super supportive, but also thought it was a bit rogue. So I think at the start people were kind of, I suppose there was a bit of envy in the like, oh, I have loads of ideas like this, but I never do it. And it was kind of like, you've got, you know, you're mad enough to just quit your jobs and do it. So there's probably a little bit of like, oh, maybe I wish I could do that. I don't know. But I think as we've kind of grown and had successes on the way, there's probably people thinking, actually, I would have quite liked to maybe have done that. But you know, the grass is always greener, and it's not without its challenges, you know. I think probably is the short answer.
yeah, absolutely. What about, I mean, you mentioned before that, you know, you're operating also in a quite male dominant industry. Getting funding might be quite difficult, or investment when you start. Have you experienced any sexism in the industry?
I think a little bit more so Farah, because she's gone out to do the fundraising, she manages that side of things, and she's definitely faced some ridiculous scenarios along the way. To be honest, most of the men have been allies and actually get what we're doing, support the business, look at the numbers, see the potential and understand it. So I would say a lot, mostly we haven't really had any sexism, although Farah has experienced you know, someone in a pitch, she was pitching, saying, you know, show us how to put on a condom, and you know, stuff that was just totally inappropriate. Like she's had that from a fundraising perspective, but generally no. I think especially as the years have gone on and we've grown as a business and shown what we're capable of, it's not been there.
Yeah, but that's also great to hear that men are allies, and you know, I think it is important that we do talk about, obviously, if anything weird happens, and we shouldn't feel ashamed about it, but equally also advocate and be, you know, kind of give men also applause when they, and not let's say applause, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
If there is like a, you know, like a support as well, that's also very nice to hear that. In terms of, I mean, running a sexual wellness brand, how is the day-to-day life as a Hanks entrepreneur, a founder?
It's, do you know what? It's great fun. We always have a giggle in the office. We're a small, tight-knit team, but really kind of flat culture, no questions too stupid. We support each other when, you know, when's needed. It's still very much hands on deck from all the team members. So it's busy. There's lots going on. We move quickly if we have an idea or you know, we want to do a marketing campaign or something a bit different. We can move quickly, can get people on board quickly. We work with lots of the startups or people in kind of similar wellness spaces. It's very varied still, you know, whether it's speaking to a buyer, to going to meet an investor, to looking at formulations for new products or packaging designs or marketing campaigns, retailer marketing. It's super varied still, and I feel very lucky to meet lots of amazing people and work with, you know, lot of interesting companies. So yeah, it's fun. We do make sure we smile and laugh even in the difficult times.
Amazing. And what about, I mean, do you have any like routines? Like, I'm just quite interested in, everyone has their own different ways to start their days. Yeah, do you have these kind of routines that you're always like kind of sticking to?
So my routine's changed slightly recently. I've not long had a baby.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, it's nearly 6 months. So wow. I guess. But it's been amazing, but that's changed. I used to always love going for a run in the morning, but it's quite hard to do that with a little one. He's recently started nursery, so that gives me a bit more flexibility. But yeah, we go into the office every few days. A few days a week, 2 to 3 days a week. All of the team are in the same office space. We have flexible co-working, so we sometimes go into different office spaces. I like to start the day or have some kind of activity in the day. But to be honest, since having a baby, that's changed a little bit. And it's meant, you know, I love to go to bed as early as possible, because I've always actually loved my sleep, but making sure that I do get some good sleep, even if it's just at the beginning of the night. So yeah, nothing wildly exciting, to be honest. No meditation, wellness rituals that I've got, but I think making sure that at least one person in meeting a day, and getting with the team every few days, and making sure of at least a couple of days of exercise activity in the week, make sure I'm sleeping, then I'm good.
Amazing. That's so wonderful to hear that you're an entrepreneur and that you had a baby recently. Maybe it's my own fears, but that just seems like sometimes like that's way too risky, you know, to leave or transition from a full-time job to being a full-time entrepreneur. And especially, yeah, if you want to create more stability in your life, those almost seem still like contradicting ideas.
Absolutely. No, I agree. And it's kind of scary, but equally it almost drives me more to make this, not that I needed it, but you know, we've always wanted Tanks to be a success, and, you know, having a child even more so, you know, you want to make sure it's amazing and does really well and reaches its potential. Yeah, we got someone else to look after.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, you have such a like, a need-based business, you know, it's very much like built around a strong mission. But I can also imagine, again, I don't have kids of my own yet, but that kind of like internal push as well, like, you know, like that mothers often have this kind of like, you know, there is no questions asked, you just have to get things done. And yeah, it's like a superpower.
Oh no, it's and there's, you know, it's trying to find that balance all the time, right? It's everyone is, but I guess even more when there's another little one in the mix. But yeah, I'm very lucky to have good supportive family, friends and husband, and so yeah, that helps.
Well, talking about the other taboos that you also mentioned earlier on, are there still some sexual taboos that you want to debunk? In the eyes of well, you are the expert in the field, really. Anything?
Oh my gosh, so many. This, I think things are definitely been spoken about and kind of even shown in popular culture, like sex education touches on so many different taboos. But you know, female pleasure is still a big taboo, even just understanding female pleasure and kind of how it works. And even women themselves don't really even know their own bodies, and kind of debusting lots of myths around female pleasure is super important. Kind of sexual health, and I think a lot of people just think of sexual health as like getting an STI check, but even just kind of looking after your sexual well-being in a holistic sense is important, and kind of comes into that as libido and how that it's normal for it to fluctuate, like it for everyone, you know, whether it's time of the month or stresses or work or physical activity or you know, there's so many things that can affect that. And I think that again is poorly understood and poorly kind of we don't speak about it enough. So I think, yeah, I think there are some key areas that still need kind of, yeah. And condom use, like generally, that's how, you know, that's how we started the company, was why shouldn't a woman buy and use and carry a condom? And that's still seen as taboo and seen as, you know, a lot of women we surveyed were like, they felt promiscuous if they carried it, and you know, they would give off the wrong impression. And that's still, I still think there is a taboo around that. So kind of debunking that and educating and talking about that more as well.
I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, our next print magazine, Wowzine, is built around the theme of pleasure, and it includes first person stories from around 20 women creatives mainly who have shared their authentic experience, what pleasure means to them, sometimes sexual pleasure, it could be also attached to of their creative practice. You know, pleasure can mean so many things, and obviously sexual pleasure is one of them. And it's been beautiful and heartwarming to read all these authentic and brave and intimate stories of I wrote a piece around the pleasure of bleeding. I took my coil out, like hormonal coil out, quite recently, and I've been experiencing like having my period back after around 7 years, which has been like mind-blowing.
I absolutely love that, because again, it's what we're trying to do, is trying to talk about these things that are often spoken about in a negative way and have such negative connotations. Actually, they're empowering and they're amazing, and we can use them to our advantage. You know, yes, we have, you know, women have periods, but that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's an incredible thing. And, you know, all the kind of contraceptive choices and the, you know, how empowering they can be as well. I think we should really kind of switch these conversations around. And I love, yeah, I love how you framed that.
Yeah, that's the, exactly. I mean, the whole ethos, there is a beautiful book called Pleasure Activism that really kind of changed my conception around periods as well. And I mean, there are taboos, like you said, like, you know, having sex still. I mean, you know, I'm 36 years old, not that I'm like necessarily like ashamed of that, but I, you know, there is still things that I have, and even now having my period back, it was kind of, it surprised me. I'm like, I feel like having period for the first time, like it's, and it made me so delighted and kind of young as well at the same time, like the sheer joy of like seeing blood again. I was like, yay.
Never. <Stay back.
laughs> But I think therefore, I mean, you know, just talking and listening and learning and sharing from others is so massively important. Like, we don't have to navigate through these things on our own. But have you experienced people going, why, like, you know, but why did you start this business? Like, aren't there any other topics that you could be exploring, of like from friends or family? Have there been questions?
Yeah, definitely. People not necessarily understanding why we've created the product. I think most of our friends and family, you know, once we start speaking about the reasoning behind, and they're very much on board and understand it. But we've definitely had pushback from, whether that be friends, family, investors, And Farah in particular, she's come from a Bangladeshi Muslim background. It's quite even more taboo with kind of her community and kind of women having sex. That's tough, and it's been tough for her. But most people who understand that sexual health is part of your whole health, and
right,
it's very much a kind of women's health company and intimate wellness company, even though we do talk about sex. So
yes, sexual health is part of women's sexual health wellness. Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, so well said. And I guess this is slightly off topic perhaps, but that just reminded me of this ongoing abortion conversation as well. Yes. And yeah, what are your views on the strengthening laws around Europe and the States?
Oh gosh, it's like heartbreaking, the kind of, what's going on. Ultimately, women should have autonomy over their own bodies and have choice. And again, it comes down to education and supporting women to make these decisions. But it's been crazy because the autonomy over your own body is ultimately what it comes down to in my eyes. And it's a human right, really.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better. Thank you, Sarah. It's been really insightful. I do still have one more question for you. What is the next for Hanks? Do you have any kind of anything you could give us, like a little flavor for what's cooking at the moment at the Hanks office?
Yeah, of course. It's in a really exciting stage at the moment because we've recently launched our supplements ranges, which will be expanding. But we've also recently launched in the US. So we are available to buy D2C, like direct to consumer, on our US side too. So watch the space over there and watch the product launches. If anyone wants to see anything different from us, then just get in touch. Our DMs are always open.
I love that. Okay, one final question, because that just reminded me of something. Is there any advice you would like to give our listeners if they are, as most people are, freelancers or thinking of starting perhaps their own business? Anything else that you would like to debunk in the kind of entrepreneurial space?
Yeah, I think if you've got an idea and your gut's telling you to go with it, then take the leap. You can think about these things forevermore, and you'll only regret something you don't do. You won't regret something you do, and you'll learn from it. So I think taking the leap is important, but make sure you do the research. So, make sure that you do have a market before you take that leap.
Amazing. And where can we find Hanks?
So hanks.co.uk, so hanx.co.uk, and our social handles are hanxofficial, hanxofficial, on the usual platforms, so Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter.
Amazing. And we have our special code REALJOB20 that gives 20% off of some of your products, so do use that one as well. Thank you, Sarah. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Sarah. It's been really lovely. Thanks for inviting me on to have a chat.
If you liked this episode, please review it or share it with a friend.
To continue the conversation, please find us on social media at Women of the Week and Girl Get a Real Job.
See you there.